We welcome you back to Open Court with Fairfield basketball coach Chris Casey. This Open Court podcast is presented by Connecticut Basement Systems. Larry Janeski's Connecticut Basement Systems is the all things basement-y company. Basement waterproofing, basement finishing, foundation structural repair, humidity and mold control, and nasty crawl spaces too. Call Connecticut Basement Systems today. 866-268-9002 for all things basement-y. Along with the coach, I'm Bob Huesler, joined by my broadcast partner, Joe DeSantis. And today we're pleased to be joined by Stags first-year guard, Braden Sparks. Stags now 5-5 as they get ready to return to non-conference play. They'll be playing Wednesday at home against Central Connecticut. It will have been 10 days between games, Coach, when you take the floor against Central. So take us into your basketball lab over this past week plus. A lot of things to work on over this extended practice time. So I was wondering, what were the priorities?
It's a good question, Bob, because you don't get many, and Joe knows this from coaching, you don't get many segments like this during the course of the year, where you have a period of time where you can either add, you can subtract from what you're doing, you can work on things you need to work on, you can basically pay a lot of attention to you, and you don't get that many segments. So going into this stretch, the first thing we wanted to do was come right back after the Mount game, watch the film, go over what we did well, what we need to improve on, and then put that game to bed and then move forward. And then we had, you know, a stretch of like five practices, and the plan was to really spend 3.5 of those working on us, things we needed to improve on and things we needed to get better at and maybe clear up both the offensive end and the defensive end, which we did. And then we started getting into Central a little bit the latter half, about 2.5 practices out from the actual game on Wednesday. So a little bit on Saturday, and then certainly today and tomorrow, and then we'll play on Wednesday.
As we talked to you on this Monday before the Wednesday game against Central Connecticut, so you said you wanted to clean some things up at both ends of the floor, and in your words, you said we did. So what exactly were you looking to clean up, and how do you feel you've accomplished that?
We spent a lot of time on defensive stuff. You know, I feel like our offense is trending in a good direction. I think we're averaging like 83 a game over our last three. So we're starting to put up points and starting to understand where we can pick spots and where guys can get shots from, understanding what each other's doing on the floor and where they need the ball. So we're making some progress in that area. I thought defensively we might have slipped a little bit, and we really just paid attention on some core principles and worked on that, guarding the basketball, both from a closeout and a guy right in front of you off the dribble, post defense, working on limiting touches in the post and then guarding the ball correctly when it gets in the post. We spent some time on ball screen defense, cleaning up a few things. There was a little bit on ball screen defense that we needed to do a better job of, when to ice, when to, you know, go into drop coverage. So we worked on that. And then rebounding. You know, I think we're a pretty good offensive rebounding team. We get ourselves additional opportunities at the basket off the offensive glass. We have to do better defensive rebounding across the board, getting a body on somebody and coming up with 50-50 rebounds. I think that's a big thing we need to improve on. I thought there was a number of spots in that Mount game where we had it to five and we gave up a big offensive rebound off a stop. You know, and now it's 7 again, or now it's 8 again. And that's tough to continually come back from that. So, and that was both in the first half and the second half. So that's kind of what we spent. And there was a few other things, but those were the primary things we spent our time on.
So, Chris, you mentioned the word cleaning up a couple times. Are you doing anything different?
No, there's nothing we're doing differently. I mean, you know, I think we have to be better at it and more conscious of it. We play hard as a group. I always feel like we play hard. It's important to channel that playing hard into the correct areas with consistency. One of them is guarding the basketball. There's really not many defenses, if any, you can design that don't require you to guard the basketball. So that's something you have to do. And there's some areas that I think we're pretty good at defensively. Transition defense-wise, we do a pretty good job of getting back and limiting transition opportunities. Our ball screen defense, by and large, has been pretty good, you know, in terms of points per possession that we're giving up. That's been pretty good. Those other areas are areas we have to improve in to keep our team moving forward. The one-on-one defense, post defense, and blocking out and rebounding the basketball.
I thought, and I've said this publicly on the broadcasts and on our podcast, and I think you've agreed, you transitioned this team. You did a great job of transitioning this team into a defensive team that could create offense off the defense. Early on, the offense wasn't so good. Is there anything you specifically do to continue to do that, or you just think good defense, good solid defense, cleaning up stuff will lead to steals?
Yeah, I think there's ebbs and flows to it, Joel, throughout the season, and you know, you're always going to get what you emphasize. And there's points in practice and points in the season when you are practicing where if you're not doing some things you want to be able to do offensively, you're going to spend a little more time trying to get better at that. And so you're going to get back what you emphasize. And then what happens, especially when you have a brand-new group who are experiencing their first MAC games and their first games together, there'll be things that slip a little bit, you know? And so I thought that our one-on-one defense, our ability to block out and rebound, our ability to guard the post, I thought that slipped a little bit. So we had to go back and now reemphasize that and hopefully get good at it again.
A couple of things as we bring Braden into the discussion. First of all, Braden, this is a question we'll ask of any player who is with us at this time of year. How difficult a challenge is it to juggle the pressure of final examinations as you wrap up the semester with your basketball responsibilities?
Since I'm a junior, I've kind of been through the road. This is my third time doing it. So it's not as hard as it was possibly like my freshman year. I just know we have basketball in the morning and then academics kind of later. So just having those two split apart lets me know when I need to get stuff done.
Did you come through as far as the academics were concerned?
Yes, sir, I did.
You did?
I did.
Yes,
sir.
You're smiling, so that tells us all I need to know. Talking about the basketball end of things, you just heard your head coach describing the things you wanted to clean up and practice. Just speaking, not as a team, individually, how did you accept that challenge? How much better do you think you have become over this past week plus of practices, especially at the defensive end, and understanding the principles that coach is preaching right here defensively?
Yeah, so I take pride in defense. You know, I think it's disrespectful when a guy thinks they can score on me. So every time we do like a one-on-one drill or like a defensive drill, I want to have the most energy and be the guy who's like, you're not scoring on me. And then also finishing the possession with the rebound. So that's kind of my emphasis coming throughout practice.
Is that the kind of player that you saw when you were recruiting, Braden, the kind of player who would take it personally, coach, when somebody beats him defensively?
No question. I mean, you know, Braden, and I think a number of our guys fall into this category. They're physically talented and skilled talented with a basketball, but toughness is part of the talent evaluation. It's probably the biggest part of the talent evaluation. And you want guys that have resiliency, guys that fight back, guys that fight you for it. And Braden definitely does that. And you can see that in practice. You can see it in games. And I talk about that to all our guys. You know, performance is important, but it's secondary to approach. If your approach is right, you're going to stack up good performances. If your approach is wrong, it makes it difficult to stack up good and consistent performances. And Braden certainly falls into that first category. His approach is consistent every day. And, you know, as he gets on the floor more and more, his performances are going to be even more consistent. So we appreciate very much the way he gets after it every day, and it helps our team a lot.
Braden, you mentioned something that's really important, playing good defense, not letting a guy beat you, matter of pride, and then finishing the possession. There are some teams where you don't have to play a full 30 seconds on defense. You have a team coming up that you're probably going to have to play a full 30 seconds. Your thought process when you're getting the scouting report for a team like Central, where you're going to have to dig in and play a full 30 against a team that's pretty patient on offense?
That's just focus. We have to focus for the whole shot clock. We can't relax. We can't be lackadaisical with our, you know, our switches or whatever we're doing in that possession. So if we focus and we're all connected, communication is also big, too, when you're trying to defend somebody for 30 seconds. So if those are on point, then we should be okay when those times come.
I think, Joe, if I can jump in on that, too, we use this phrase a lot, and I think it's important when you're talking about a team that you got to guard the full 34. You have to have defensive poise, because when you get to that end of the shot clock, that last 6-7 seconds, there's going to be things that the offense does that you have to remain poised on. Shot fakes, drives to the basket and being walling up strong so you don't foul. Back cuts, things that happen at the end of the clock that you have to be defensively aware of and defensive poised to play against. And that's how you get your stops late in the shot clock.
My grandson wanted to go to the women's game against Villanova, and I found out your Mount St. Mary's game was on the TV up in the diff on the big screen, so I was kind of watching both. You gave up a lot of points at Mount. Was that a big problem, that poise factor that you just mentioned?
I don't think it was poise. I think it was more credit to them. They played great. I mean, they shot the ball extremely well. On our end, we did not get stops where we needed to when we had a chance to catch them and pass them. And that happened probably, I'm going to give you 2 to 3 times in the first half, in the latter part of the first half. And it probably happened 4, maybe 5 times in the second half. And it was all right in that 5-6 point range. So it was that wasn't so much defensive poise. That was the core things that we just discussed earlier. Guard the ball, block out and rebound, guard the post, no easy touches, and then keep post play out of the middle of the floor. Those principles right there.
As you run down those principles, Chris, and tell us that you've been working at that and you see progress now over this last week plus of practices, the question is, how difficult is it to really get better in those areas without the benefit of games? I mean, you're not going to have played a game, as I mentioned earlier, it'll be 10 days between games, Mount and Central. So obviously the real judgment time comes when you get on the floor against Central. But how accomplished can you get in practices as far as getting back to where you want to be?
Yeah, I think that's why they call it practice. I think you can get better in those areas. Now, obviously, it's got to be game tested and performed in a game, too. But again, I go back to the point of, I think you get what you emphasize, and we emphasize that this week. And I feel like we're going to get some return on that investment when we play Wednesday. And those areas are going to have to be good. You know, there'll be other things we have to do. Obviously, the Central's very good with, ball screens, particularly middle ball screens. So we'll have to guard those correctly. Transition defense, they'll run some, but not a lot. They will drive the ball to the middle of the floor, which is something we want to keep the ball out of. And they do offensive rebounds, so we'll have to block out and rebound. So the things we worked on to make us better, I think, Bob, they're things you have to do game to game regardless of who you're playing. You know, so I feel like we're going to get payback from putting some time into that.
The numbers game, this is something we've talked about before. 9 players right now are averaging double-digit minutes per game. Another 3 are right below that number. So essentially you have 12 players who are averaging about double-digit minutes as far as the season is concerned so far. You've told us, and you, to give our listeners the visual, you held your hand out and drew an even line plane, and you said that, you know, there are not too many guys who are well above this plane and not too many below it. My question is, over this last extended period of practice time, has anybody maybe taken a couple of notches, jumped forward, and distinguished themselves in a way that maybe even in the 2 weeks that have transpired since we last spoke to you, hadn't been there or even gone the other way, maybe?
I think the best way I can answer that for you, Bob, is that in spots, some guys have stepped forward. But what we need to get to, and I don't know if we will, we'll see, but what we really need to get to is where there's 4 guys, 5 guys that consistently separate themselves from the 13 scholarship guys on the roster. That's what we need to get to. We haven't had that yet. And I do think we have, you know, a group where everybody can give you something in a game. So until we hit that point, and I don't know if we will, you know, we're going to have to see. And teams can be good without hitting that point. I mean, there's teams out mm-hmm. there that win playing 11, 12 guys. Okay. So I'm fine with that. Every team has a different personality. Every team has different characteristics that help you win. So if that's going to be our identity, I'm fine with it. But I am going to continue to play multiple guys, start different guys based on performance and practice performance until we get to that point where four or five guys have emerged clearly and have done it consistently. And again, I'm being repetitive, but if that doesn't happen, I'm fine with that too, you know, as long as we're putting ourselves in position to have opportunities to win games.
Chris, do you verbalize that to your team? Like, do you try to motivate? Like, you're looking for four or five guys to step up, maybe in a bad moment in practice, you get upset?
Yeah, you know, we've definitely communicated that to the guys that, you know, we need to get four or five guys to separate themselves. And I've also communicated to them that, you know, if we don't get that, it's going to be different guys, different nights. Mm-hmm. It's going to be different guys against different matchups. And the biggest part of that, Joe, is that, and you know this from being an athlete, if you have to buy into that every day, and you really, and it takes self-sacrifice, you have to be as happy with the guy's success next to you as you would be with your own. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be an important thing, and we continually talk about that with our team too. And we got a good group of guys, so they understand that part of it. You know, now comes, you know, we're one third of the way into the season. And now comes the time where you have to really buy into that. You're moving towards conference play. You're moving towards tournament play. And it's important that that remains something, that you're bought into individually and collectively.
Two part question here. Number one is, do we in the media and do fans place too much emphasis on a starting lineup, and I bring it up in this context. For the first time since Drexel, you actually used the same starting lineup twice in a row, Ryder and then Mount St. Mary's. The second part of the question is, as we sit here on Monday, do you have a pretty good idea of who you're going to start on Wednesday against Central Connecticut?
No. That's the short answer to that. And again, I'm fine with that part of it right now too, because, you know, there's a flip side to that. You know, we talked about that, I think, in a previous podcast. You know, that tends to put guys on the edge of their seat on the bench, too, because you don't know when you're going to be tossed in the game and, you know, how long you're going to be tossed. So you always have to be ready. So I think that's a positive flip side to that, too. But, you know, no, I thought we had a very, very good practice today, and I want to see how practice goes tomorrow. And then we'll put a starting lineup there out there on Wednesday, and you know we'll see how that starting lineup goes, and if we need to make substitutions to alter that, we will. You know, I think it's just very important that we play who's playing well and who's performing at that moment. If we're not going to get separation from some guys, then it's going to be like that. It's going to be different guys, different nights.
All right, let's bring in Braden on this subject. You've had it both ways so far as a Stag. You come off the bench, I think four times, whatever it is, and you've been a starter for quite a few games as well. I don't think there's any player alive who would not prefer to start. But how do you go about accepting the challenge that coach puts out there on a practice-to-practice basis? Show plenty in practice and know you're going to be rewarded with playing time and often starts. Your feelings on how you approach things from a player's standpoint and getting that kind of playing time?
It's all about my approach. I try to approach if I'm starting or if I'm not starting the same way. Same deal with practice. Try to approach it with a positive mindset no matter of what, you know, if I'm starting or not. And I think that just helps my mind mentally stay ready for whatever it is. If I'm coming off the bench, I'm just like on the edge in the game, encouraging my teammates. If I'm starting, make sure I start, you know, not casual, kind of like on edge, ready to go from the jump. So that's kind of how I approach it, and I think it kind of helps me out.
We know the coaches are pushing you in practice. How about other players? Who are the players who push you hard?
Oh, they all always, all the time. Practices are competitive, and I think that kind of helps me. It helps me get better for the games, helps me prepare for the games, but it also helps our team culture. Like, we can compete in practice, you know, talk trash in practice, and then right after, we're, like, laughing about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good dynamic to have as a team as well.
Coach, he's sitting right next to you, so I'm putting you on the spot, but why don't you tell us about Braden and how he is as a practice player?
He's tremendous as a player, period. You know, you want to surround yourself in everything you do, and it's kind of a coaching cliche, but I think it's true in all walks of life. You just want to surround yourself with good people who are going to be there every day. And, you know, beyond Braden's ability on the court skill-wise and basketball-wise, he's an everyday guy, you know, and that's such an important quality no matter what you're doing. So I'm very appreciative of that. I think Braden is at a point where he's getting a good grasp of what we're trying to do now, and I feel like he's just going to continue to get better and better and better because of his approach. His energy level is great every day in practice. I'm a big proponent of, I know you have captains, but I want everybody to be a leader and be able to open their mouth and, you know, pick things up if they dip a little bit. And he certainly does that. So, you know, we're fortunate to have him. And, you know, for the fans out there to get a chance to get to the games, when you watch him, he's a guy that fights you for it every possession on both ends of the floor. So we're appreciative and we're fortunate to have him do that for us.
Braden, one thing this team certainly could use is somebody knocking down the three-pointer with consistently. And that is something you did at Mercer in your first Division I go-through. It's been there on and off for you so far as a Stag. I think it was 4 three-pointers you knocked down in the game against Georgetown, and you had a nice shooting day in the loss at Mount St. Mary's. So how close do you feel to getting more consistency from that three-point shot?
I feel like I'm right there. I'm in the gym every day, all day, with coaches, with teammates, just repping out three-pointers. And I know I can shoot the ball. There's no, like, question of that. And I'm gonna keep letting them fly. So it's right there.
And, Coach, that's music to your ears, right? He's got a green light. Guys have green lights on this team. You want them shooting the ball. How close do you think Braden is to being into that, if I'll use the word zone, you know, where on a consistent basis that three-pointer's going through?
Yeah, I think he's very close, you know. And the reason I think he's very close is, you know, it's a little bit redundant, but his approach and the fact that he's in the gym all the time. You can't not get rewards for that kind of stuff. Sometimes they come quicker. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get the reward, but you're going to get rewards for it. And I see, you know, as we go on here, and you're right, Braden does have a green light, as do most of our guys. If you got open threes, I want you to take them. And then, you know, we have to, and we've done this, get a good feel for when threes are dropping or threes aren't, and you got to get to the foul line more. You got to get to the lane more and drive the basketball. You got to get more in transition. I think we've gotten a decent feel for that too. When Braden has open shots, I want him taking them. And I feel confident that they're going to go in.
Braden, I'm one of the few people in this side of the country that's been to, I don't even know how to say it well, but Autumna, Iowa, where Indian Hills is. I always like to hear, again, having gone through it 100 years ago, who recruited you out of high school? You obviously settled on Mercer. And why you chose Indian Hills, a junior college, and who recruited you after your year at junior college?
Coach Breaker recruited me here at junior college. And coming out of high school, it was really kind of quiet. Mercer was like the only school that was pursuing me. And I wasn't on scholarship. I was a preferred walk-on. So I kind of was like fighting my way through, per se. But Autumna, Iowa, small city in Iowa. Indian Hills, I'm grateful for the people. I'm grateful for the opportunity I had there.
Why did you choose Indian Hills? Did you have a connection there? Or?
I did. One of my close friends actually was an assistant coach at the time. Mm. And when he saw I hit the portal, he was, you know, like, do you want to go JUCO or are you trying to stay Division I? Obviously, I kind of wanted to stay Division I, but I think the best opportunity was for me to go JUCO. So I went up there with one of my friends and had a good opportunity.
You're a Georgia kid, and you played at McEachern High School in Georgia, and you were a freshman on a team that had not one but two future NBA players. And not surprisingly, you guys won a state championship that year. But I'm talking about Isaac Okoro and Sharif Cooper. And I was wondering how being around that kind of talent that early in your high school career kind of shaped you. What did you learn just early on from seeing players at that level work and compete and win?
It was most definitely like an eye-opener. As soon as I got there, first practice, you know, I'm coming out of middle school, I'm thinking I'm the best player, and I come and see their practices, and I'm like, wow, like I'm nowhere near the level. But just seeing the way they worked every day, it kind of engraved like a foundation in me. Like seeing, we go to lunch, they go to the gym shoot. We practice, they're in there shooting before. After practice, they're staying late, getting extra work in, and it kind of like put a foundation. Like you have to work in order to get rewarded. So that's kind of what they showed me at a young age.
Well, you must have shown something to your coaches at McEachern because you were the only freshman on that state championship team. How were you a prodigy? You mentioned you thought you were really good in middle school. How good were you coming out of middle school and good enough to make the varsity on a state championship team, obviously?
I think I was pretty all right. I mean, I was, like I said, I was nowhere near their level, but I tried to stay under their wing. Like every time they were in the gym, I was like, hey, can I shoot with you guys? Can I work out with you? So that kind of is where I just kind of followed their path along the way.
So take us through the what transpired when Fairfield contacted you. Did you visit here? Do you have family in the area? Were you familiar with the area? What were some of the reasons why you came here? How did it? When did it start? Did they recruit you at Indian Hills? They saw you play? Just the whole kit and caboodle. Just tell us what went down.
Yeah, so they came to one of our Coach Breaker came to one of our games in Ottumwa, Iowa.
Hold up. Coach Breaker, who's never left New York City, went to Ottumwa, Iowa.
There was a lot of guidance required on that one, Joe. So we got him there and got him back in one piece. So.
You know, he still doesn't have a driver's license. Yeah. I hope you know that.
Yeah, it was.
I had to let him know, Glenn, there's not a subway that goes from from here to Iowa, so you're going to have to take a flight.
Go ahead.
But yeah, we were playing another top-ranked team, a JUCO team.
What team was that? Do you remember?
Triton.
Okay, sure.
Out of Chicago.
Chicago.
I just remember I'm in warm-ups, and I look up. I see a red sweatsuit. And I was like, I wonder what school that is. Like, who is that? And then I ended up playing well that game. I think I had, like, maybe, like, 21 and, like, 8, 21 and 9, something like that. And got his contact information after that game. And surprisingly enough, I didn't hear from Fairfield until after the season. So right when that season ended, I got a call from Coach Breaker. And he was like, hey, like, would you like to come on a visit? And I was like, yeah, I will. Came on the visit, great visit. Felt like home, like, instantly. As soon as I got here, I was like, yeah, this is the place I need to be. And then the rest is history.
What was it about that visit? Why did you feel so at home?
I think what really helped me is after, because I came up here, I played. We played, like, pickup. After I played pickup, the guys were telling me, like, hey, like, we want to play with you. Like, you're really good. We want you to be here. And I think that's kind of, like, what also helped my decision. It was like, oh, the team, even though it's not that many returners, the team, even some of the older guys that left were like, hey, like, I think you'd be really good here. Like, this is a good spot. And then just talking to Coach Casey felt like home. So,
who else was in the running against Fairfield for you coming out of Indian Hills?
So, actually, Mercer did reach back out.
Really?
Niagara and the MAC reached out to me. Loyola and Maryland, I'm sorry, reached out to me. That's just off the top of my head, a couple of three schools. But there was a couple of schools reaching out to me trying to get me on visits, but I thought Fairfield was the best choice. There was no reason to, you know, take other visits and wait around.
I don't think they're one of our sponsors, but have you heard of Avelo Airlines?
Yes, sir, I have. Yes, sir.
Funny story. My wife is, as we speak right now, is on the way back from visiting her mom in the Atlanta area, in and out of Avelo. Can't beat it.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
He's just angling.
That was your last trip. You and I talked about that because I saw that. I always paid attention to that because I saw Avelo starting to expand their destinations to Florida.
Right.
And then I remember I was driving from my house to the school, and I saw something pop up that said, oh, they fly to Atlanta now. And yeah. I actually took one of those flights in the summer coming back for recruiting, and it was great. And I told Braden when I did, I said, you might want to look into that when you fly back and forth to home. It's an easy trip.
Chris, I've been to Florida many times. My son's in North Carolina, Raleigh, Durham. I've been on it at least a dozen times. Never an issue.
Yeah, and if they're not a sponsor, they deserve to be at this point.
Joe, you're taking notes. Write that down that Zach needs to contact Avello after all this press we just gave him. We need them to sponsor us.
We were talking about Indian Hills. You guys won 29 games last season there, and you finished one win short of playing for a national championship at the JUCO level.
Yes, sir.
What did that experience how did that benefit you? What did you learn from the experience of being with a team, obviously, at the JUCO level, but albeit at a near championship national level? What elements of that team do you bring with you here to Fairfield?
I think leadership. That was probably my main thing going to JUCO, coming from Mercer. I was like a, I won't say bottom of the totem pole at Mercer, but I was a freshman. So you kind of, I had older guys who were more vocal and like trying to show me the ropes. But right when I got to JUCO, it was like, I'm a sophomore now, I'm an older guy, and I have to step up and be a leader, help guys out, because we're all trying to go back Division I, and I was already there. So being vocal, leading the team, knowing when to shoot, when not to shoot, like just little things on the court that a point guard needs to understand. And also, I got reps. I got to play a lot. I got reps and understanding defenses, understanding when to pick my spots, when to shoot, when not to shoot. So those are some of the things that I learned last year.
So, Coach, is Braden one of the more vocal guys in your practices? I know we've had on Louis Bleachmore, and we know he's vocal and leads both by example and verbally. Braden in that same mold?
Yeah, Braden falls into that category, and I think one of the biggest things to add to that is it's consistent. It's not, you know, some days and other not other days. Yeah. It's consistent, and that goes back to what I said about him earlier. He is absolutely an everyday guy. And that's what you want to have is everyday guys.
I like the name drop, and we've already talked about Isaac Okoro, who is having an incredible year for an incredible team in the NBA right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Sharif Cooper, I believe, was once an Atlanta Hawk. I think he's playing overseas now. And then from your hometown of Villa Rica, Georgia, is Jay Crowder is from your hometown.
Sir.
Now, this is one of the great NBA veterans. This is a guy who's probably going to play till he's 45 years old. Do you have a relationship with him? Does he come around?
I've never met Jay Crowder. I don't have a relationship with him. But actually, my cousin did play in the NBA for a couple years. His name is Mario West. Played for the Hawks a little bit, played for the Nets for a couple years. So I kind of look up to him as well.
Oh, good. Tell us a little bit about him.
He was a defensive player. He went to Georgia Tech, graduated all 4 years from Georgia Tech. Been a mentor for me. I call him, you know, frequently, talk to him when I need guidance on certain situations. It's just about basketball and also about life, so he helps me out a lot.
Has he been giving you feedback here early in your Fairfield career? What are some of the things he's talking to you about when he watches you in the Stags uniform?
Like my consistency. Like, he'll see some games, you know, it'll be like a drop off. He's like, hey, just stay consistent, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low, just kind of stay level headed, and you know, it'll all work out in the end.
Are you getting a feel, only two games now you've played against MAC competition, Ryder and Mount St. Mary's, but are you getting a feel for this conference and the differences that you may experience relative to your former conference, the Southern Conference?
Yes, sir. The Southern Conference was kind of slower paced. You know, a lot of teams like to walk the ball up, and we're going to run a set every play. This is more of fast paced, you know, just mm-hmm. – if first open look, you know, we're taking it. Southern Conference was kind of, hey, let's try to get the best shot. Any, like, you know, kind of slow pace. So,
which do you prefer?
I prefer this.
I had a feeling that would be the answer.
I prefer this by far.
Asked you earlier about the academic side and how you came through, and you said well, and you were smiling. What are you pursuing here at Fairfield?
Communications with an education minor. So.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Another guy who wants Joe DeSantis' job.
You can have it.
Want to transition into some personnel questions, Chris. A lot of Fairfield fans are intrigued by Isaac Munkati, and we have talked about him quite a few times during the podcast. What we're seeing is a guy who he's a really good rebounder. good paint protector, but offensively still a work in progress and also tends to foul a little bit too much. So this is me of just setting up the easy question. Where is he at today compared to where he was on day one, and where can he get to by the time, say, we're rolling in the max season?
Yeah, he's definitely making progress. I think the best things he does for us right now, he protects the rim, and he defensive rebounds. Those are the two best things he does. His ball screen coverage is getting better. Offensively, you know, he just needs more and more reps every day in practice and some game experience to have a little bit of poise with the basketball and be able to go score in the post one-on-one. You wouldn't know it from watching him during games, but he can shoot the ball a little bit too. Like if you watch him in practice, it's not foreign to him to raise up for a three and make a three. He can do that. So I'm pleased with his progress to this point, and I think he has a tremendous upside to him. And the best thing about him was he works hard at it. Like every practice, he's got the same he comes as the same guy every day to practice. So I think he's going to be really, really good. My feeling is by the time we hit February, I think he can, you know, almost double what he is right now. That's my hope. You know, and we got to get him out there for continue to get him game experience and then continue to work with him in practice.
Chris, I have a question, and it kind of relates to Moncotti, but I don't think you should redshirt him, but do you think differently, just in general now with this transfer portal, that if you were to redshirt somebody, there's a chance you could lose him earlier?
Yeah, you do think the reason for redshirting a guy is because of what he can become, and that your payback is going to be down the road, right? And I don't know that the college basketball culture right now is a down the road culture. Mm-hmm. It's more of an immediate culture. So I do still think there's reasons to redshirt a guy. But I think there's maybe fewer reasons, you know. Now, that can change, Joe, because when next year comes and teams start opting into this, you know, the opportunities that the House settlement is giving, where you can go to 15 scholarships, now you got 15 guys on scholarship, there may be some more reasons now to redshirt guys because you got 15 guys now. So that could change a little bit of the thinking too, but that's down the road, and you know, not only us, everybody's got to see where that goes.
Sticking with Isaac for a second, Braden, as one of the leaders on this team, have you been able to communicate some of the things that somebody who's still in essentially the developmental stage of his collegiate career, kinds of things that maybe you can talk to him about and help him along with?
Yeah, any chance I get, if I see he's, like, struggling with something, I'll go up to him, pull him aside, hey, like, this is what you need to do on this possession. And he responds, you know, well, he's like, okay, I got you. Or he'll, like, ask a question. If he needs something, he'll come to me or somebody else on the team who, you know, can give him the right answer. He'll do that. So he's coming along nice.
You find him a quick learner?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
If anybody, not to interrupt Bob, but if anybody spent some time around our team, you would see Braden doing that with Isaac as well as everybody else on the floor. And if you spent some time around Isaac, you would be very impressed with how much that young man handles, because he's not only probably had more basketball thrown at him in the last 2.5 months than he has in his entire career, he's also handling, being from the Congo and trying to get as best a handle as he can on the English language. So he's going through tutoring for that. He's working on all his coursework, you know, and handling that. He's working on additional tutoring to help him with coursework. He's working on that. And he handles it all with grace, and he handles it like a man. And it's really, if you spent a day or two around him and just watched all this, you would be very, very impressed with how much that young guy handles.
Braden, so many of the players on Fairfield are in their first year with the program, and I wanted to ask you about the difference between summer, when you guys were all thrown in together for the first time, and where you're at now. How much more of a team are you? Do you feel that there's been really discernible progress in that area?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, always a new team, we're all trying to find our way throughout, you know, just being at the school together. So it's kind of fresh, trying to get to know each other. But I feel like now, since we spent so much time together, literally every single day we see each other, we're hanging out together, I think we kind of know each other as people, as players now, and it's only going to continue to get better throughout the season.
You getting a good vibe from this team, Coach?
Yeah, I love being around these guys, you know. I enjoy coaching them every day. I think by and large, we all work. I think by and large, our approach is good every day. And really, that's what I want. You know, that for me, that's fun to be around, that environment. There's always moments where we have to work on that, like any other team. But by and large, I've been very pleased with that. Like, I thought practice today was really, really good. And I really enjoyed practice today. That was fun to be around. And I felt fortunate to be around it, to watch these guys compete like they did today. So, you know, I feel like there's definitely steps every day towards coming together and getting better and getting better. You know, and I think we just have to continue to go down the path we're going and figure out exactly what we are. I think we're figuring out a good amount of parts of what we are, and I think as we continue to go through games here, we're going to really figure out, you know, what we are and how we're going to win and how we're going to play. And that's really what the season is about. You know, you want to go through that process and you want to just each day keep what's going well in the process, get rid of what's not going well in the process, and just get a little closer together and a little better each day. And then hopefully by the time you hit February, you figured it out and you're playing well and you put yourself in a position where maybe you can compete for a championship.
Some other personnel items I'd like to address. Kyle Jenkins is still working his way back from the time off due to his knee soreness. What have you seen from him during this past week plus as he continues to get up to speed? And same thing for Matt Curtis, who, again, is coming back from a serious elbow injury, and it's going to take him some time. But where are they today as opposed to even a week ago?
Yeah, health-wise, they're both good. And they're both starting to get more, I don't know if adapt is the best word for it, because they both played at full game speed, but they're starting to get closer to being, you know, reacting at the speed the game is played. They're starting to get a little bit closer to that. I can see that, you know, in practices, and I can see that in minutes during a game. And I expect that to continue to get better. And we got to get them minutes and get them more attuned to the speed of the game and then continue to get them competing in practice so they get more ready.
Another guy fans ask about often is McQuay Reek, because he had his coming out party at the Mohegan Sun, but he's kind of fallen back in terms of minutes since then. What does he need to do to show you, okay, it's time to give me more minutes again?
Yeah, he's you know, the thing I love about McQuay is about all the right things. You know, he's another guy, like a number of our guys, and like Braden, he's in the gym all the time, getting extra shots up. You see him sometimes after games. He goes back into Mahoney and he's shooting. You know, him and a couple guys do that. So he's about all the right things, and he's putting in deposits into that playing time bank that eventually he's going to get rewards for. Right now, I think he's kind of trying to understand everything we're doing and be consistent about how he does it in practice. And he and I spoke about that. And as he gets more consistent with it, that's going to make me more comfortable with throwing him out there in game situations. You know, basketball is played 96, 97% of the time without the ball in your hands. So there's other things you have to be good at besides just having the ball in your hands. And he's growing into that part of it. My favorite thing about him is he's about all the right things. And he's like that every day. So I think he's going to keep getting better. And my hope is as we go forward here, he may be a guy that emerges a little bit and we can get consistent minutes out of him.
All right. We're talking to you on the Monday before the Central Connecticut game. And I watched them on Sunday against Rhode Island, and I know what they've done up to this point of the season, and it's been pretty darn impressive. That's a program that's near and dear to your heart. You spent quite a few years as an assistant at Central. Now, former Fairfield assistant Patrick Sellers doing a really good job with them. They present a heck of a challenge. What are the keys getting ready for Central Connecticut?
Yeah, they're a good team. They're a veteran team in a lot of sense. They're not extremely deep, but they got some guys that come off the bench that can give you good minutes and that can score. They're very, I don't know if methodical is the right word, because they will run some, but they're very patient offensively with trying to get to what they want to get to. So we're going to have to guard the entire shot clock. Our ball screen defense is going to have to be very good, particularly in the middle. I think that's going to be really important, where they'll do a lot of handoff into a ball screen, a lot of handoff and then rescreen and rescreen again. So we're going to have to be very good with that. And we're going to have to be poised at the end of the shot clock. We're going to have defensive poise when you get into that last 6-7 seconds of the shot clock, and not jump at shot fakes, not foul on drives that are going to end up being difficult shot attempts, not get back cut. All the things that are important at the end of the clock. And then defensive rebound, you know, when the ball comes off the glass. They'll offensive rebound some, but I think we have to do a very good job of limiting their second-chance opportunities.
Chris, what scares me about a team like Central, and you kind of hit on all the points, they're methodical, they're precise, they don't turn the ball over. Here's a statement I made to Bob when we both got done watching. I called him. I said, they know who they are. And I think that's real important, because it's still a team game. And as a team game, if you know who you are, what you're good at, you're a tough opponent.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think they, you know, I think they've carried over from last year with some guys now that know what it is. And they know how they want to play, how they have to play, and what gives them an opportunity to win. And I think they're very good at it. I think, you know, you touched on it, Joe, just a second ago. The best thing they do is they don't turn it over. If you look at their turnover differential, they're turning teams over significantly more than they're turning it over themselves, which I think is interesting, because they will press some, but they're not pressing all over the floor. They're just solid defensively, and then they're just very good offensively with not giving up their ball.
Braden, when you look at the scout, read the scout, and then – practice against the scout team, when we're talking about Central now, what do you see? What are the things that you think are going to be most important from your standpoint to get a win on Wednesday against Central?
We put a lot of emphasis on just guarding our one-on-one matchups. Try to win those matchups on the defensive end, and also finishing the possession with a rebound is kind of what our focus has been for the past, you know, day or a couple of days in practice. So I think if we hit those on the nail, we should be in good shape.
Three non-conference games left before you get back into the MAC, and this is going to be a tough stretch for the Stags. You have Central coming up, and Monmouth on the road, and Columbia on the road. When the MAC season does resume, Chris, what is the single most important thing for Fairfield to bring to the table when you get back into conference play? And I'm not trying to skirt over these three non-conference games.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do in the next hour, Bob, and you got me into conference games in January. So.
Well, I'll put it in nice, plain English. When you're back in the MAC and you're playing the all-important conference games again, what is the one thing you want Fairfield to be better at when you resume the conference roundtable?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, and I think it's really just getting better at the things we're emphasizing every day. I don't think it's one single thing. Okay. I think it's those core things defensively, guarding the ball, rebounding, blocking out and rebounding, guarding the post, you know, and being tough at the rim, and ball screen defense. And then on the offensive end, just keep getting better. You know, I think we want to just keep pushing the pace, keep running the basketball, try to get early offense. And if there's five back, be very good now at moving bodies and moving the ball side to side, and making teams guard you. You know, playing both tempos. That's kind of, you know, Braden, that's pretty much what we preach every day. And it's simple, you know, it sounds easy, but it's not. But those are the things that I want to be consistent at. So that would be my answer, Bob. Not just one single thing, but I think that small group of things is going to be very important for us to keep getting better at.
Yeah, absolutely fair. And, Joe, we've reached that point in the podcast. You know what time it is. Any final words from Roberto Santos?
Yeah, I always like to do something a little abstract. But so I came up here from the Bronx an hour away, but I felt like this is to Braden. I felt like I was in another country. Now, I know you went to Autumna, Iowa. You're up here now. You got Well, you don't have a Christmas break. You got a break, but you're not going to be able to travel because you got practice. After the season, like, you have any thoughts, like sightseeing New York City? I don't know, maybe you've been to New York City. A little advice, stay out of Flushing, Queens. Anything like that?
Hey, whoa, I got a little bit of root in Flushing, Queens. Go easy.
Any thoughts? I mean.
Yeah, I've been to New York a couple of times. I know I came over the, I went over the summer as soon as I got up here. And then I went, I will say like in September, I believe I was in September. So I like New York City a lot. I think it's the second best city behind Atlanta.
Hot Atlanta?
I like New York a lot.
Atlanta is an amazingly popular city among athletes. It just is. Yes, I've noticed that just from being around NBA.
Why did you look at me when you said that, Braden, about Atlanta? It's like, you're trying to get a response out of me, but I'm staying out of that conversation.
Well, you're a Georgia guy who seems to be making himself very comfortable up here at Fairfield. Your folks, your family, you have siblings. Have they been able to get up here for any games? Do they plan to?
They plan on coming for, I think, sometime in January. I know they have they're off on break right now, so a school break. My mom's a teacher. So my brother and sister, my mom, they're all off for like 2 weeks. So I think they might try to come up after Christmas. I know if they don't come after Christmas, they'll be up here in January. So
nice.
They'll get a chance to see what it's like up here.
Nice. In the meantime, we'll tell Joe to say nice things about you on the broadcast so he doesn't make any enemies among the Sparks family.
Don't have to worry about that.
Hey, it's been great having you with us. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
And that'll do it for this edition of Open Court, brought to you by Connecticut Basement Systems. 3 non-conference games left for the Stags, then back to the MAC. We've been talking about the Blue Devils of Central. That's coming up next for Fairfield. That's Wednesday night at Mahoney. Then 2 road games Saturday, this coming Saturday at Monmouth. Then the following Saturday at Columbia. Our next podcast will drop in late December, shortly before the Stags resume MAC play with a road game against Merrimack on January the 3rd. So for Chris Casey and our special guest, Braden Sparks, for the Fairfield Hall of Famer, Joe DeSantis, and our podcast engineer doing it all again, Zach Dayton, I'm Bob Huesler. Thanks for listening to Open Court.